Hallelujah. God is about to release great things into your life through the undiluted word you're about to listen to. Pay attention, as this sermon will grant you deeper understanding of God's word. And now, here is the undiluted word.
In the race of life, it is not strange to fail, but it will be out of place and very surprising for you to fall and not willing to rise up and continue in the journey. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16, the scripture records that a just man may fall 7 times, but that he will rise again. People who are failures in life are not failures because they failed, but they are failures because they refuse to stand up when they had a fall. Life is such a busy place that everybody is on a race, and very few want to begin to look at others. So if you fall in the course of the race and stand up and join the race, they may not know you ever failed. But it is only when you stay down, that's when men begin to gather around you, and then you become an object of sympathy, and then people will know that you had a nasty fall. One of the reasons God is bringing this subject our way is so that we will be able to gather stamina and energy to create a new beginning for ourselves. So I like us to be courageous. You know, God said to Joshua, "Only be thou courageous." It will take a lot of courage to start all over again. You can create something new, and you've got to believe it. I'd like us to quickly take a look at the book of Genesis 1, verse 1 to 3, and then we'll begin to mention a few things that you can actually create. The word create means bringing into existence what was not originally there. To create is to bring into existence, is to start. In Genesis chapter 1, one of the most common scriptures we are told, even while we are not born again, that in the beginning, God created. The beginning is always a fine time to create. As soon as you settle down in marriage, you begin to create atmosphere that will sustain the marriage. As soon as you get a new job, you begin to create principles and values that will make you indispensable in the job. As soon as you start a new business, you begin to create principles and values that will sustain you in the business and make you grow. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And verse 2 tells us the form, the physical appearance of the earth. The earth was without form and was void. That is to say, it was empty. You could see through the earth. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, this is a stage in the creation Just like you begin to do a thing that have different stages before it gets to the final end. So for God, this was the beginning of the beautiful earth he had in mind to create. Of course, you won't set out creating things where you don't have an imagination of that thing. It is the imagination that a manufacturer has that guides his work. You have an imaginative picture of what you want to create. So every time you make it and it doesn't look like what is in your heart, it doesn't fit it, you are going to break it. God said to Jeremiah, go to the potter's house. And I'm sure Jeremiah was wondering, what do I go to the potter's house to do? But he went to the potter's house and he sat quietly and watched the potter putting clay together and then trying to form pots, cups, vessels of different sizes and shape. And within the potter's discretion, he will form, break it again, and form, break it again, and form. And Jeremiah is wondering, is this man not wasting time? Why will he form a particular shape and then breaks it only to reform it again? Because that particular shape and vessel did not fit the potter's imagination. Doesn't fit the potter's picture. So to create something, you must have a picture of it. It may not be existing anywhere physical, but it is existing in your mind. So for God, he's setting out to create heaven and to create earth. And first stage of his creation, the earth was void, the earth had darkness, the Spirit of God was moving upon the face of the waters. And then in verse 3, the Bible says, and God said, let there be light, and then there was light. So this light didn't come as an afterthought. This light didn't come as an emergency requirement. God always knew that there will be a role for light in the earth he was creating. And so when he started and saw that everything was darkness, he had to bring in what he always had in mind. And then there was light. And all of that, if you read up until the end, Scripture said, and the Lord saw that everything he made was very good. And then he rested from all his works. So you can create. Every human created by God has a creative ability. And that creative ability was put right there in us to enable us build a wall of our own. Scripture said the heavens of the heavens belongs to the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. So God has put in us that creative ability. He said to the first man he created, he said, have dominion, replenish the earth, be fruitful, and multiply. That was an injunction given to man to create things. So you can actually create a new beginning. You can start all over again. Have you failed severally? There is something right inside of you that if you look inward and take advantage of, you can actually bounce back. Have you been disappointed many times? God is saying right inside of you, I have deposited something that if you trigger, it will help you overturn that disappointment, and then you will find yourself bouncing back. Because as far as life is concerned, failures will come, disappointment will come, betrayers will come. But you need to look inward and take advantage of what was put inside to accommodate that failure. in order for you to start off again. So you can create a new beginning, taking a lift from God. The first stage wasn't good enough, but it went on. It kept creating, it kept creating. In verse 5 of Genesis chapter 1, the scripture says, and the morning and the evening. So from that time, God began to count morning and evening. And it went on and on. The morning and the evening was the second day, on and on and on. Until he could say to himself, now I have gotten everything I want. I have fixed them in the frame I've always wanted them to be. And then he rested. So don't rest until you have seen the picture of the person you've always wanted to be. Don't rest. Don't give up. Don't hang up. Don't conclude until you can find that picture. This is who I've always wanted to be. And then you can say, I have fought a good fight. And I have finished the race. The first thing God will expect every human born into this world to create is to create a relationship with him. That is the startup point. Creating a relationship with him. Why do I need to create a relationship? Why do I need to form partnership with him? The reason is because it was not in our nature by birth to have relationship with God. The disobedience of the first created man on the earth had separated us from God. So every man born after the first created man was born with a nature that abhors God. A nature that doesn't like the standard and the principles of God. Now, if you remember that in Genesis chapter 4, it was the offspring of the fallen man that knew that hitting another human being with a heavy object can kill the person. Otherwise, between Adam and Eve, there was no such thing. But when they gave birth to Cain, Abel, they gave birth to Cain and Abel through the fallen nature. And so there was this inborn capability or capacity to offend God in the man. So that is why every human created by God, born into this world, must first and foremost, when you come to a point that you know your left and your right, when you come to the age of accountability, the first thing you must seek to create is a relationship, a reconnection back with your maker. That was actually the design of God for the man. He said, let us create man in our own image after our likeness, so that man will have dominion here on earth like we are having dominion in the heavens. And the Bible says that after God created the first man, he will come on regular interval to have communication, relationship, companionship, partnership with Adam. On a daily basis, God was paying him a visit. God was keeping him company in the garden. I don't know exactly what their discussions were all about, but I'm sure that every time God visited Adam in the garden, they had a long conversation. Adam, how are you faring? Have you seen this fruit? Have you seen this animal? What do you think? So God was having that day-to-day relationship with man until man fell in disobedience. And that companionship was disconnected. So, when you come to the age of accountability, God expects that the first thing you want to create, and you should create, is that ability to reconnect with your Heavenly Father. And that has nothing to do with the number of years you have been in church. It has nothing to do with your membership of a particular denomination. It has everything to do with personal decision, consciously taken, deliberately taken, knowing the consequences thereof. So if you are still in church and you have actually not created that first relationship with God, you are still in a dreamland. Because regular church attendance is not equal to personal relationship with God. So he wants us to create that relationship. It is not in our nature. It is not a natural thing. It is not an automated thing. It's not a default that as soon as you are born into the earth, you just begin to have a relationship with God. No. It was then for the first man created by God. But after the fall, man will have to consciously take himself to God and say, God, this is me. Remember John chapter 1 verse 12, scripture say, as many as received him. So to receive is a deliberate effort. It's a conscious act. Those that receive him, he gave them power to become his children. So because it's not in my nature to love God, to know God, to serve God, to worship God, I must consciously create that relationship. Why is it not in our nature? Ephesians chapter 2. We read from verse 1 to 10. And you, as he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. This is our nature. This is our true definition. Dead in trespasses, dead in sins. How was I dead in sin when I never even was born? God said, as soon as Adam failed, the failure became the failure of every other human being that will come through that process. And God said, he has quickened you who were dead in trespasses and sins. And the next verse, wherein in time past, is referring us back to who we truly are. Wherein in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. Now, take note of this point. Before we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, this was our natural manifestation. This is us. Before you surrender to Jesus, this is who you are. But he said, after you have surrendered to Jesus, the spirit that was behind the kind of attitude you had is now working in the children of disobedience. Who are the children of disobedience? Those who have refused to surrender their life to Jesus, they are children of disobedience. And those are the spirit, the power of the air, the cause of this world, the prince of the power of the air. Those are the spirits in charge of them. Verse 3. He said, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh. We were doing things to gratify our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature. Now look at that. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Naturally, this is how we were born. You know, that's why David had an interaction with God, very interesting one. After he had killed Uriah the Hittite and took Bathsheba, for his wife. And he was confronted. He repented. And he said to God, "In sin did my mother conceive me, and in iniquity was I born." In other words, David is saying to God, "My father was a sinner, my mother was a sinner. And two sinners came together, their product would definitely be sin. In fact, sin square. So God, I don't have ability to do what is good, you know it. You know that my father was a sinner, my mother was a sinner. And the both of them gave birth to me. I'm a product of sin. So by nature, I should be doing those things I did." But he went further to say to God, "Create in me a clean heart. Give me something that was not originally there when my father and my mother met and I became a product that came out of that meeting. Create in me that heart." And that's the heart that God gives to us when we accept him. That's what David was asking for in the Old Testament. Create in me a clean heart. Give me the capacity, because the product of a man's life is his heart. A man is a sum total or a summary of who he is in the heart. And so David is saying to God, "Create in me, give me that power. If you give me a new heart, I am going to be able to do things the way you want." Verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." Amen. So this is where to begin from. Creating a relationship with God consciously. And this cannot be overemphasized, because many times when we enter the church and become religious, some of us forget that we are actually not born again, even though we are churchy. We are actually not born again, even though we are very religious. We are actually not born again, even though we attempt to be like Christians. But we are struggling in the inside of us to be. Today you can do it, tomorrow. So you find yourself in and out of sin because you are trying by yourself to be like Christ. And the Bible stipulates that we can't be it by ourselves. It said, "For by grace you are saved, not by your works." No matter how you try not to commit fornication by yourself, one day you will be overwhelmed. But you need the indwelling of the power of God, which is the Holy Spirit inside of you, that tells you this is not how to do it. Gives you the grace. That's why the Bible says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. That sometime in your life, you'll be able to look at yourself and say, "Is this me that couldn't stay 2 hours without cigarette? That I've stayed for 10 years, I'm not even thinking of it?" He said, in the time to come, he will show his exceeding grace in our lives. And truly, you will be able to say, "This is grace. This is God working things out for me." This relationship with God is what gives you a place with God. You see, it is only a child of God who is truly born again and has the Spirit of God that begins to feel something is bad and I cannot do it because that thing is bad. Amen. Joseph said, how can I do this great evil and sin against God? So, God works in us, and after that, he works for us. Now, the working of God for us is what men will see. God is blessing this young man. God is blessing this sister. Look at what she's having. That's God working for us. It is the work of God in the inside of us that actually will sustain the work of God for us. Because if you don't allow the work of God in your inside to be complete, whatever he works for you can even cause you to fail. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, from verse 1. 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I will not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. To be under the cloud means to have been led by the presence of God. In Numbers, the Bible says that the presence of God was represented by a cloud. And every time the cloud moved, they moved. And wherever the cloud stayed, they stayed there. And Paul, in this epistle, is telling the Corinthians church that these our fathers, they were all under the cloud and they all passed through the sea. So they were led by God. They enjoyed the tangible presence of God. And in verse 2, they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, baptism unto Moses means they were given law like Christ. Now, the law that God gave Moses for the children of Israel was a typology of Christ being given to us in the New Testament. So they were all baptized unto Moses. And in the sea, that is a type of water baptism. The Bible says the Red Sea parted in two and formed two great walls. So they were walking inside. In other words, they were submerged. You know, baptism is baptism by immersion. So the children of Israel were actually right in the middle of the water. The walls formed by the water, by their left and their right, covered them that the Egyptians couldn't see them walking right inside. So that was a form of water baptism for them. They had such experience. And verse 4, the Bible says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. The Bible says, God said to Moses, speak to the rock. The rock brought out water and actually drank from it. So those were powerful manifestations of God. God working for them. And if you read down, the Bible says they even ate angels' food. Praise God. They ate manna, as it were, the food of angels. But look at verse 5. It said, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. Amen. So, if you don't allow God to work in your inside, no matter what he is doing for you on the outside, you can still find yourself in the wrong side of heaven. That is hell. Can you imagine people that were baptized? They have seen the tangible presence of God. They are drunk from the river, from the rock, Jesus Christ. And yet, God wasn't pleased with them. And in the New Testament, there are quite a number of believers like that. We have passed through all these rudiments of Christianity. And yet, God is still not pleased with us because of our walk with him. We have been baptized in water by immersion. And we celebrated and did thanksgiving for having water baptism. Yet, we are still not living our lives in such a way that God is pleased. We take communion on a monthly basis, yet it doesn't change our attitude and our lifestyle. Every month we take communion. These people, they took the communion, they ate bread that was baked in special ovens in the heavens. And yet, it didn't affect their character. How do I know it didn't affect their character? The Bible says in verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So it is possible that you are baptized and you are still living in lust. It is possible that you are taking communion, you are still living in lust. It is possible that you have experienced the tangible presence of God, the tangible walking of God. You know God. You know that God is real. You are still living in lust. And God said that we shouldn't lust the way they also lusted. And in the next verse, these same people that drank from the rock, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. They had gone through everything they should go through. They have gone through believers' class, as we will call it contemporarily. They speak in tongues. The Bible says, yet they were still idolaters. Idol worshippers. Putting other things before God. Bringing God behind. In verse 8, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. You mean after all these experiences, they still had fornicators? Just like we still have fornicators in church. You take communion today, 3 days after, you're already in the bed of fornication. No, you are still born again. 2 days after, you speak in tongues. And God said, neither let us be. Because there is this possibility that you can have all these spiritual experiences and yet you are still living at the downward side of life. All the spiritual encounters, you know, sometimes I hear some people say, Jesus appeared to me. What a great privilege. I don't doubt it, because there are people who have such privileges that they have angels appearing to them live. I mean, you saw it and you know this an angel. Jesus appeared to you, sat in your bedroom, talked with you. But the question is, what has that encounter done in your life? What difference has that encounter made in your life? If that encounter has not made any difference in the way you live your life, then it was a wasted effort by heaven. And you are going to account for it. Because God will tell you, there are people who never saw me even in the dream, yet they lived their life for me. How much more you that I appeared to? If what Saul, before he became Paul, saw on the way of Damascus didn't change the course of his life, then it would have been a wasted effort by heaven. But just once, Paul saw it. He saw a blinding light. And then when he woke up from that place, he became poor till he died. He never went back. And there are some of us that have seen much more supernatural encounters. If what Moses saw didn't change and alter the course of his life, it would have been a wasted effort by God. But he saw a bush burning and the leaves were not consumed. From that point onward, everything about Moses went into God's direction. Some of us, we have had these encounters. God has spoken to you. Someday you were in church and the message came very heavy. It was very heavy on you and you just knew that this is me God is talking about. And leaving church that day, you said, wow, God is just talking to me. 3 months after, you are back into who you used to be before that encounter. You are wasting heaven's resources.
Beloved, thank you for taking time to listen to God's word. We trust you've been blessed. This message was brought to you by Pentecostal Deliverance Church, located at 65 Stadium Road, opposite Mummy B Junction, Rumomasi, Port Harcourt. You can get our Sincere Milk Devotional and Believer's Training Class Manual and other inspiring and life-transforming audio messages from our church book stand located in the church premises or through our website www.pdconline247.com. Furthermore, our church activity schedule is as follows: Monday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. counseling; Wednesday, 6 p.m. School of Wisdom; Friday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting; Sunday, 8 a.m. lifting service. If you would like to reach us via call, our helplines are 080-3389-0315 and 080-6935-5639. God bless you.